Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Despite Obama's unqualified statement of unwavering support for Israel and Zionism, the owner of the Atlanta Jewish Times, Andrew Adler, wrote just a few weeks ago that Israel should consider giving the go-ahead for U.S.-based Mossad agents to take out a president deemed unfriendly to Israel.
That moment for Octavia is what the Oscars is all about. That was pretty amazing. And I loved that movie a lot. When I saw it, and I came out of The Help, I wanted to hug the first black woman that I saw, which from Beverly Hills is about a 45-minute drive. And
it is a crazy world out there. You got Louis Farrakhan claiming that Mossad agents are going to kill Obama. You've got the old Catskillian, Billy Crystal, is ready for the AARP home, telling anti-black jokes at the Oscars. You've got Angie the Arm and her beau, Brad the Pitt, mocking themselves by appearing at the crowd. You've got Hollywood so out of touch with unreality that all of the money in Spielberg, Ratzenberg, and Patzenberg's pockets couldn't put Humpty together again. It's unreal what's going on in this country. And all the while, we have to make heads or tails out of it. All the while, we have to try to make sense out of a president who, through the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA, which he signed in secrecy on New Year's Eve while you partied, gives him the power to authorize the U.S. military to arrest any American in the middle of the night in a black car or a blue car or even an electric car. You think it's a joke? Well, Al Gore consultant Naomi Wolf, Ronald Reagan Justice Department official Bruce Fein, and others are alarmed at Obama's power grab and his disregard for the U.S. Constitution. In fact, for all intents and purposes, what Obama did completely nullifies a good portion of the Bill of Rights, turns the United States into a war zone, and places U.S. citizens under military rule. I didn't say that. They said that. Both Democrats and Republicans who understand the danger we are in through this petty dictator understand the danger we're in from this petty dictator. They understand that this man is out of control. They understand that Obama is not only out of control, but arrogantly out of control, so that he will pick fights even with the Catholic Church that did not have to be picked simply because he is so arrogant and drunk on his own power that he figures now it's the time to finally show that he doesn't care about religious people or religion, because he knows the American people are so stupid, so nullified by their own desires, that they won't even pay attention to what he's doing in the open public. I can ask you some stupid questions about all of this, but what's the point? Today, a school shooting in Ohio by a goth, whatever that is, that's a creep who nobody likes, because they're so intimidated by the pervs and the deviants in the schools today, the goth picked up a gun, killed one, injured four. Now, of course, he's the victim because he was bullied. He was bullied. So I ask you today, who do you blame for this shooting by children in America today? Do you think that movie producers such as Spielberg, Ratzenberg, and Weinstein are to blame for the senseless, violent movies they make in which one person after another is shot without regard to the humanity without regard to the psychological impact these images have on young minds. I mean, I don't know. If you did a count, if you did a computerized count of all the movies that Weinstein, Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Spielberg have produced during their lifetime, and then you had the computer calculate how many times a handgun or a gun was shown, how many times a shot was fired, I would think the count would be astronomical. So do you blame Weinstein, Spielberg, Katzenberg, Ratzenberg? You can't, because they own the media. What's the good of blaming them? There was a time when we had people who held Hollywood to account for their movies. And in those days, every movie had to show that crime did not pay. That's correct. There was an unwritten code in Hollywood. They made plenty of money, and they never showed a killer coming out on top. They never showed a bunco artist coming out on top. They never showed a rapist evading the FBI. They did for a while, then they got caught, and they were punished in the electric chair if they committed a capital crime. There was an unwritten code in Hollywood. But today, since Hollywood owns the media, and since Hollywood owns the news outlets, and since Hollywood owns the congressmen, how can you expect anybody to tell anything to the new czars? Tsar Nikolai never had the power that Tsar Weinstein has. Tsar Nikolai never had the power that Tsar Spielberg had. And then we see the sad case of the so-called Oscars, with the old Catskill comedian Billy Crystal looking strangely like an aging morphodite, again with sucking candy in the mouth. We don't understand the sucking candy syndrome, but there it was again, literally drooling on himself between jokes that he thought was funny. We saw the aging Angela Angie arm come out with the arm and leg. No one understood what she was doing. What was the leg and arm? What was that about? Are they that crazy? You ask yourself, are the people in the movie business with more power and more money than an ancient king, are they insane? Are they insane? They must be insane. For Angie the arm, who's married to Brad the Pitt, to come out on the stage with a foot sticking out and the arm on the hip was too much even for one of the stupid comedians who will never work in this town again, who mocked her right after they came out to win an award for a documentary they did. I don't know whether it was on leukemia or whatever, but they immediately mocked her arm and her leg. I don't think the guy will ever be seen south of, I would say, Fresno after that. I think that the Hollywood police, the Hollywood secret police, will prohibit him from entering the environs of, I would say, 300 miles within Hollywood. So that's the situation we're in today. We're living in a museum nation, a museum of the ancients who run everything. Who do you blame for kids who pick up guns, whether they're picked on, not picked on, bullied, not bullied, on drugs, not on drugs? Who do you blame for a kid picking up a gun to shoot somebody in a school, a fellow student, no matter how much he hates him? Who do you blame for it? Is it Katzenberg, Ratzenberg at all? How can you blame the gun manufacturers? They're not the ones who pulled the trigger. The kid's brain pulled the trigger. If you study basic biology, you understand that the order comes from the brain, it goes to the finger. The order has to come from the brain, and then the finger pulls the trigger. So who put it in this kid's head that it was okay for him to say, I've been bullied? Where's this bullying come from? You could blame this government for it if you really wanted to. For months now, we've been hearing propaganda about bullying. So the kid said, I'm a victim. I've been bullied. I'll kill them. You want to blame the government? You want to blame Hollywood? You want to blame the kid? You want to blame the parents? Who do you want to blame? Tell me what you think. 1-800-449-8255. Notice that I've wisely connected Hollywood to the shooting incident in the school today in Ohio. Now you say, well, is he doing it because there's any reality there, or is he doing it just because he's such an incredible talk show host that he can get away with it? What do you think? I'll be right back.
Savage.
How many of you heard about that? Raise your hands. Oh, that's a small number of you. Now, when I say something, they make sure everybody knows if it's negative. Farrakhan, the anti-Semite. Farrakhan, the hater. Farrakhan, the this. Why the hell didn't the media tell you what that man said about killing our brother in the White House. It's because they protect their own regardless to the evil of their people.
That moment for Octavia is what the Oscars is all about. That was pretty amazing. And I loved that movie a lot. When I saw it and I came out of The Help, I wanted to hug the first black woman that I saw, which from Beverly Hills is about a 45-minute drive. And
okay, the sucking candy. That's the sound of a sucking wound in the chest. That's Billy Crystal's own laughter. That's what Hollywood has become. They're basically, you know, you could sit here and ridicule them all you want. They are the gods of our time. They control your mind with the images that come out of Hollywood. The world is either offended or entertained or both at the same time. And there's no stopping them. At the same time that that's going on, you've got Louis Farrakhan spewing the same rhetoric as Adolf Hitler. And again, the media doesn't report that, of course, because they don't want you to put two and two together. Let's see. Louis Farrakhan, Islam, Jew hatred. Can't put that together. But instead, we can see, for all the world to see, the insanity of the Billy Crystals. I got to tell you, you know, by talking about Hollywood, talking about the Oscars, and I'll admit I watched the entire ceremony till I got sick. It was the longest I've watched in my life, but I did it professionally. I'd come back from a long trip, and I was exhausted. So I got in bed very early to watch, you know, to make fools of themselves, just imagining the terror and the fear underneath those tight dresses. And naturally, like everyone else, we watched them to mock them, not to enjoy them. This time it was new. They had like a peanut gallery of cheering lunatics in the background, like professional mourners, you know, at a Chinese funeral. You know, they hire people to cry. These were professional laugh, every minute, every minute, you know, he's swooning every second. Every second, another guy. I don't know what that shows him for. Billy Crystal, don't say, well, he did better than you. Of course he did. I wouldn't do it. You know anyone who would do a thing like that? Who's sane? The most vile individual on the stage was Chris Rock. I turned the TV off when he came on. I hate him. Now, why do I hate Chris Rock? Because I've seen him perform on Showtime or HBO. He is the dirtiest, most anti-white, has the dirtiest, most vile, racist mouth in the media. And he got up there like they made him into a Boy Scout. A vile, racist mouth on him. And all of a sudden, they clean him up. They airbrush him. And there he was up there making believe he was family friendly. There was nothing to admire about the entire evening. Then they had the guy won an award. I don't know where he was from, Poland. He went on with a speech, a broken speech about his mother in Warsaw. I estimated that they were losing 100,000 viewers per minute as his speech went on. They couldn't stop him. At least 100,000 viewers a minute turned the show off. Again, the biggest scandal of the night was Brad Pitt's old lady, Angie Arm. And I can't tell you how embarrassing it is to watch the daughter of a fine actor make an idiot of herself like this in her older years. Not with the adoptions, number one, but after all the adoptions, now she's pregnant and still comes out like that? All right, it's just a trade show. Why get excited? The world is burning under Obama. The man made $4 trillion in new debt. The world is on fire. Gasoline's $5 a gallon, heading to $6. Israel's about to be snuffed out off the planet because they've been intimidated like by a snake charmer. Ahmadinejad is like a snake charmer, and Israel's afraid of him. They're afraid. They're sitting there waiting for Tel Aviv to go up in smoke. Everyone sits there saying, nah, it'll never happen. Iran won't do it. You want Michael to make a prediction? It's going to break my heart to do it. I'll make a prediction. I never make predictions because you can't win. If you make a prediction and you're right, who remembers? No one. If you make a prediction and you're wrong, everyone remembers. You want me to make a prediction? We're going to lose at least one warship in the Straits of Hormuz within the next year. The Iranians will sink one or more of our warships, and whether the Navy wants them to do it is another question. It's almost like the question of Pearl Harbor. Do we want to see an aircraft carrier go down with the loss of 3,000 men? I don't know. I don't. But maybe the U.S. Navy does in order to marshal the American moron to war. I don't know what they have in mind. After all, if they have silkworm missiles which sank British warships during the Falklands War, I would think that 20 years later or 30 years later, whatever it is, 82, 92, a click, clock, tick, almost 30 years later, you'd think the Chinese-made silkworm missile given to the ancient Persians, now the Iranian mullahs, are much faster and much more difficult for our warships to stop. We're going to lose an aircraft carrier or a heavy cruiser if we still, I don't think we have them. We'll lose a destroyer or two. Then what are you going to do? You're going to cry over it? Who are you going to blame for it then? Who are you going to blame that one on? So things are terrible. I'm really, you look at them, it's awful. It just gets worse by the minute. And with all of this going on, they give an award to an Iranian film director. That to me was the topper. That was the topper. I could go into the ethnicities involved, but I don't have to. That's pushing the envelope. I would do that if I was in a private closed theater right now. If I was in the Polaroid Theater, I would do that. But I'm not in the Polaroid Theater. I'm in the theater of the mind called the Savage Nation. And you have to admit that combining the shooting, the terrible, terrible thing of a kid getting killed for nothing in a school in Ohio by another psycho, bullied goth psycho, allegedly, and then tying it to the moguls of Hollywood, I did pull the rabbit out of the hat. R-A-B-I-D. I pulled the rabbit out of the hat. I pulled the rabbit out of your hat because this is enough to make anyone rabid. You know, and I know, that the movies did it. You know, and I know, that the reason the kid picked up the gun is because of the vermin in Hollywood and the pollution that comes out of the sewer pipe from Hollywood into the minds of our children. You know that, and I know that.
Savage.
Just feels good being back in Michigan. The trees are the right height. Streets are just right. I like the fact that most of the cars I see are Detroit-made automobiles. I drive a Mustang and a Chevy pickup truck. Ann drives a couple of Cadillacs, actually. And I used to have a Dodge truck, so I used to have all three covered.
Now, you know, the left jumped all over Mitt Romney for this. Now, I have to ask you, the trees are the right height borders on something bizarre. And, of course, the left is going to say the right height for what, Mr. Romney, for lynching black people? You know they're going to say something crazy like that. Everything the man utters, they turn into something else. Ann drives a couple of Cadillacs. Actually, already they turned them into Richie Rich again. You know, yeah, it's kind of bad rhetoric. I don't think it equals selling Israel down the drain. I don't think it equals the National Defense Authorization Act, which permits the U.S. military to arrest you in the middle of the night. I don't think it equals printing $4 trillion in fake dollars. I don't think it comes up to the standards of the tyranny that is trickling down from the old White House. But don't tell that to the fully owned subsidiary in the media. So there's a lot of craziness right now. The country seems to be like a broken crystal, frankly, not to overuse the metaphor of crystal, but we are like a cracked crystal. The country's like a broken crystal. And you know why? Because we have the most divisive president in American history who's pitting one against the other. That's the truth. Now, if you want to talk about any of this, this is the one-stop shop. The shooter, the school shooting, the Hatzenberg, Ratzenberg, Matzenberg, Spielberg, and Weinsteins, the insanity of the Billy Crystal's bit, they're like Boca Raton-level jokes. I mean, like jokes in a, I would say old age home, you can't use that, like an assisted living, where old comedians from the Catskills all go. They made the last stop is at Century Village Community Hall in Boca Raton. And they tell jokes like Billy Crystal last night, but again, with a sucking candy in the mouth. I don't understand. Remember when there was a phase when the Speaker of the House at the time, Nancy Pelosi, had sucking candies, when she got very arrogant? At the height of her arrogance with the hammer, she was into sucking candies. She was so, I don't know, enraptured with her power that she felt she could do anything, say anything. So she was into like sucking candies while talking. It became a national scandal, the sucking candy. Now I saw sucking candies last night again at the Oscars, but what does this man do in between Oscar appearances, like for 8 years? What does a man like that do? Where does he live? How does he get up in the morning? Hi, I'm Billy Crystal. I can't understand it. In a way, you know, radio is like a small element of the entertainment business. I admit that, but I have to live with myself. I was something before I was a talk show host. He was nothing. before he was Billy Crystal. And he was good years ago. He's very funny years ago. He really was. You know who I really don't like is that fat kid who thinks he's cool now. He always played like the nerdy schmuck in movies. Now they like gave him a new haircut and they give him a suit. And everywhere you turn there, but he's still basically a backstabbing schmuck. And they're going to make a mistake with him and feature him as a lead soon in a movie. I don't know his name even. Everywhere you turn, there he is. There's another one I used to like in the younger crowd that was good. Seth Rogen was good for about 3 years. 2-3 years, Seth Rogen was funny. Now he's starting to look like he takes himself seriously, and he doesn't look like the fat yuck that he really is, so I don't like him anymore. He was the kind of guy that everyone knew in the crowd. Everyone had a Seth Rogen friend. Now he got so big that he doesn't look funny anymore. I had a friend like that once. He thought he was funny. Everyone laughed at him, and he was really incredibly funny. We loved him. Then one day he thought he was a poet, and he tried to tell everybody he was really a poet, but I'm not really funny, and I'm going to win a Nobel Prize. You can't believe people like this. Notice I'm trying to avoid serious topics. It's Monday. Slow going. Slogging through Gomorrah. It's only 40 minutes. I feel like the character in The Sopranos, you know, the fat guy who... He goes on the lam after they find out that he's in gay clubs at night. What was his name, that character? He was great. I loved him. And he runs from Jersey, and he goes and lives in New Hampshire, and he gets a guy lover, and he's, you know, he needs a job. He's still the same guy. So the guy gets him a job as a handyman for like probably $7 an hour. He's an ex-mob guy. He has to make some money up there in New Hampshire. So it shows him working on a woman's house to make some money because he was in a construction trades. And he doesn't want to look at his watch because he's afraid to see the time is going too slowly. So they show him, you know, lifting sacks of cement and working in the garage, and it's freezing, and then he's working the saw, and he's looking at the sun, and he says to himself, must be 10:30 by now. I'll wait. I won't give myself a reward, even a water, till 11:30. Then about an hour later, it must be 11:30 by now. Half an hour's lunch. Then after lunch, it's almost over. Looks at the watch, it's 9:30 in the morning. That's what the show feels like today. I don't know why. It's probably from the travel, the time zone dissension. I got to tell you, I'm gonna drift for a minute. You know the iPhone, which I don't own? I don't own an iPhone. I own a primitive joke phone that people laugh at. I own the Samsung Rugby, the kind of phone you can drop from a window like a Remington Shaver years ago, you know, a Timex, and it bounces and it works. You could drop it in a toilet bowl, you know, and it'll come up and gurgle and it'll work. But the reason I bought it is it has big numbers on it, right? And I don't text. If I get a text, I look at, I don't like texts that come to me because they're too small for my eye. It hurts my eyes. And I got over magnified glasses. Everything's... So I read them and I immediately erase. I don't like texting. There's something creepy about a text. Even if, you know, it's so funny. I'm from another age. If I get a text, it seems like it's perverted. Even if it isn't, it would be like, meet me at the stationery store to buy those clips that you asked for. Someone seems like I want to report it to the FBI. I think someone's stalking me. There's something about texting that I don't trust. So anyway, I don't have an iPhone. Now, how long am I going to be able to hold out? I go on a boat last week in Florida. A friend owns a big boat. A really big, beautiful yacht, 161 feet. I go on it for one night to experience. And I see a lineup of the moon, a crescent moon, and the next planet, which I know is Venus. And then there's another planet lined up in a row. So one guest says to me, what's that third object up there? Is it a star or is it a planet? I said, I don't know. Let's ask one of the crew members. So a young guy takes out an iPhone, I swear to you. He says, hold on, I'll give you the answer. And he presses an app he has for $1.99, like astronomy app. He points it at the star constellation, rather the formation, the astronomical formation. And within 2 seconds, it says Sun, Venus, Uranus, and then it shows all of the formations around it. I was so knocked out that I have to buy an iPhone. You don't know this about me. When I was a kid, I was very heavily into astronomy. I loved astronomy. Why, I don't know. Doesn't mean anything special. I just loved astronomy. Most kids do. I think it's because I built a star box where you put a flashlight on the inside which is the sun, and you poke pins in a black sheet of paper, and then you flash it, and you show it to the other kids in the classroom, and there's Cassiopeia, you know, there's the Big Dipper, Little Dipper, and everyone thought I was Einstein. So I never got over that, and I'm still looking for that hit. That was such a beautiful accolade that I'm still looking to build my next Starbucks, and I don't even like their coffee, to be frank with you, but nevertheless, I think I'm going to, nevertheless, they have the worst coffee in the universe. I hope they don't advertise. Man, how do they get away with that? How in the world does a chain get away with coffee that is undrinkable? Now, they give you the free vanilla, they give you the free cocoa, they give you the milk, and you got a lot of grifters in there. Oh, I could never own a coffee shop personally. I throw people out. I come in here, I see bums eating a lunch from somewhere else. Bums with a computer, they don't buy even so much as a coffee in Starbucks. They own it, though. The feet are up. They got everything spread out, napkins, they got their, and they're sitting typing their resume, whatever they're doing. They don't buy anything from them. Where did it originate that you can go into a place of business in the United States of America, whether it be a Starbucks or Starcrossed, whatever the shop may be, and sit there for nothing and not buy anything from the store? Answer, when it was no longer owned by the guy in the back, the store owner, because he was no longer like a guy who owned the business, will kick you out if you did that. Corporations, you could do anything you want. Say, so sit there, a computer, they don't even buy the coffee there. They come in with the coffee from Safeway in a container and a sandwich dribbling on the floor. But as I say, the coffee's horrendous. What I do like when I go in there is I cheat on my diet in there. That's all I do. It's also a nice decor. It's a nice place to visit. I wouldn't want to drink coffee there. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. It's okay. I'm taking it easy today. Now it's 44 minutes after the hour. Right? It's in my head. I know you don't think the show is as slow. Slow. Very sloggy, slogging through. It's like the movie Gray. I feel like I'm in snow without snowshoes. You ever? It's like walk through snow without snowshoes. Your foot goes in up to your crotch. That's what the show feels like. I mean, like I'm walking through a snow field where each step I'm going in up to my crotch and I have to yank the foot out to take the next step. Farrakhan, spewing Jew hatred. Not a word from, well, we're coming back from the lane. We heard about the Farrakhan. But, you know, it's freedom of speech for him because he's related somehow to the old man in there, so he can't do it. And what's his name? The guy who's supposed to win? Romney. Trees, I don't understand that one. I myself don't know. Is he a lunatic now? The trees are the right height? The trees are the right height? The streets are just right? I think he meant that he felt he was at home. That's why he doesn't live there, was at home. Okay, who wrote this for him? This had to be written by some moron. Somebody writes this? The trees are the right height, the streets are just right? For what? For hiding behind after a lynching or a murder? What is this? Ann drives a couple of Cadillacs, actually. Great line for people who are out of work. It gets worse by the second. I don't care for the dictator guy with the throwing the ashes on him. I think he's a Schmendrick now. He was good when he did Borat. That was funny, the first shot out. I didn't like the gay movie he did. That was horrible. Mocking gays. I thought that was disgusting. Who's Harvey Weinstein? How did he get his start? How did he get so powerful? He looks like a guy I knew in high school. Oh, I can tell you a few Harvey Weinstein stories, but I'd get sued. Oh, yeah, I know people who did business with him. They have stories to tell about him. Let's put it to you this way. Everything you see in his face is true. Everything you suspect about Harvey Weinstein is accurate. The portrait of Dorian Gray, accurate, etc. So if you were to put Harvey Weinstein's face next to Warren Buffett's face, basically, you have the same man with a different persona. But it's the same personality, in my opinion. It's Obama. I haven't mentioned Obama yet today. Maybe that's where the show's going slower. What's going on? I also don't like her. Meryl Streep. I could do without her. She was good many years ago. I'm not going to go into fat and old. Okay, that happens to everybody. Time and gravity catches up with everybody. Yours truly included. It's not the fact that she's overweight. What do I care? There are many people who are hefty who are incredible people. Not personally do I know any, nor do I know any currently in the public eye who are like that, but there have been in history. I'm trying to think of a few. Orson Welles. Orson Welles in the film business was hefty and an incredible genius. Meryl Streep, on the other hand, because of what she did to the Iron Lady, Thatcher, I hate her. I will never, ever, ever, ever go to one of her movies again. Now, that should affect her deeply, I'm sure. Romney hits Daytona. Oh, now he's back in Florida. Could you see why I'm never going to run for office? Remember when I told you I'll never run for office? See, other people in radio have made the mistake of thinking they're politicians. They've either danced around it or I might do it. They never do it. They make the mistake of thinking that they're not in the media or that people really would vote for them. How about that guy, Al Franken? Remember that schmuck, Saturday Night Live? He got the job. He stole the election, in my opinion, by, like, you know, tricking the votes. Okay? Becomes a senator, and he goes on the floor of the Senate, and he starts being major league Brooklyn pushy schmuckola. Within 3 weeks, the Democrats shut that slob's mouth. They probably pulled him aside and said, listen, fatso, here's how it works. You're a senator now. You're not on television. If you ever want to see a red cent going into your state, ever, shut your trap. Don't say a word unless it comes from the DNC. You've never heard from him again, right? What does he do up there? Nothing. He's a bag man for the DNC. I'll be back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We are recovering from America. What Ails America is the subtitle of today's show. What Ails America? Is it the fact that liberalism is a mental disorder, as many of us know to be true? Is it the fact that the Republican Party cannot seem to get a candidate that we can get behind? Is it the fact that the RNC seems to be throwing the election because they don't really want to win? I mean, what exactly is the problem here? Movie industry, is it on its last gasp? You know, many industries have changed right in front of our eyes. Record industry gone. Man, movie industry's gone. I mean, Spielberg's a smart boy. Look what he did. He signed up to do movies, propaganda films for China. He went right with the Leni Riefenstahl. Movies that he's going to do with the Chinese government will only show China in a positive light. So what would you say that is? That's smart business on one hand, right? And what else is it? Nothing. It's just smart business. So in other words, if it was 1938 and Germany was on the rise, which it was, an American, a major league American producer wanted to make movies and they were running out of money, which they weren't. And he signed up with the Third Reich to make movies that showed not only Hitler, but the German nation in a positive light. Do you think there'd be an uproar? There would be, but you won't see it now because you have the interlocking corporate directorships, which I've been warning you about for 10 years, something I learned during the liberal phase of America in the 60s when we were warned about interlocking corporate directorships, where you have the equivalent of Fox News owning Fox Searchlight Films, owning book publishing, owning magazines, owning newspapers. So therefore, all of these entities can only put out the party line and only support the products that the boss man wants supported. That's why the interlocking corporate directorships were warned about. Slogging off 56 minutes after the hour, 55:43. Must be close to the end of the hour. It's not as bad, but it's not good. It's not. I don't know what it is. Is it mental? It's something mental in my head from the travel. I think my Eustachian tubes were affected. And my timing is not right. Did you hear the Farrakhan piece? You got to hear it if you didn't hear it. All of those out there who think that he's not a danger to your survival, I want you to listen to clip 8, Louis Farrakhan.
Despite Obama's unqualified statement of unwavering support for Israel and Zionism, the owner of the Atlanta Jewish Times, Andrew Adler, wrote just a few weeks ago that Israel should consider giving the go-ahead for U.S.-based Mossad agents to take out a president deemed unfriendly to Israel. In order for the current vice president to take his place and forcefully dictate that the United States policy includes its helping the
Jews. All right, we heard enough. This is not Reverend Jeremiah Wright. This is so-called Reverend Louis Farrakhan spewing the same type of racial hatred that was heard during the Hitler age, right here in the United States of America, not then, but here now. Not one word from the vermin in the left-wing media. In fact, not one word from anyone in the media. Not one word from the media. This soundbite we got was from the Chicago Tribune, by the way. They are the only ones who had the courage to play this vile racism. Now, it's legal, of course, to be a vile racial hatred, to spew vile racial hatred. Now, you'd expect that from the Ku Klux Klan. You'd expect that from various and sundry other organizations, and you'd be hearing about it. No doubt the usual suspects will be warning you about the dangers of right-wing extremism or right-wing extremists. So why have we not heard any warnings from any of the groups that normally warn us? For example, where are the brave men of the ADL? Where'd they go to? 1-800-449-8255.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Tuesday. Welcome to the Savage Nation. We're all kind of like the monkeys at the zoo after candy was thrown to us. You ever see monkeys on Mondays? People used to throw candy at the poor simians until they finally stopped that horrible practice. People are idiotic. And the monkeys would have like low blood sugar on Monday. That's what America feels like. Everyone has like low blood sugar. We feel like the monkeys. They threw candy at us last night. Harvey Weinstein, you're the man of the day. So you got a school shooting in Ohio. It'd be very easy to make the connection between the violence portrayed in Hollywood by guys like him and the others who've made their living by promoting sex, drugs, rock and roll, and violence. Let's see, sex, drugs, rock and roll. Sex, drugs, and violence. Forget rock and roll. Take sex out of it. That's good. By promoting the use of drugs and guns, they have poisoned the minds of the children. So every time a kid gets insulted, he thinks of picking up a gun because that's what he sees in the movie. That's why. And you could blame them if you wanted to. If you're on the other side of the aisle, you're a leftist, you say, no, it's not because of Hollywood that the kid killed. It's because of right-wingers who bullied him. You personally bullied the kid, the goth who did the shooting. So it's a crazy day. It's like unbelievable. I told you, I feel like the fat guy in The Sopranos again. Is I feel like 8:30 in the morning. It isn't though. It's actually 4:08 already. 4:08. I mean, on the West Coast, 7:08. I'm watching the clock. My brain feels strange today. I don't know what it is. Did I eat something weird? I had calamari and French fries for lunch. I figure since the world's not able to go up any day, I may as well enjoy what I eat. Horrible shellfish. Oh, God, don't eat shellfish. I'm anti-shellfish again. The polluted shellfish coming out of Asia is something scandalous. You can't eat that stuff. It's frightening. I spoke to a chef who told me, don't eat tiger shrimp anywhere ever. It's sewer shrimp. He said, eat white shrimp. I don't know what a white shrimp is. What are you going to a restaurant? Is it white shrimp or tiger shrimp? Is that like bordering on racism if you say a thing like that? I don't even know anymore. Can I ask, is a tiger shrimp a white shrimp without having the police arrest me? But he said, don't eat the tiger shrimp, they're raised in polluted beds. I don't eat it. You ever notice your joints hurt after shellfish? It's because they're polluted. You don't understand there's a relationship. That's why the drug companies, which own the food companies, which own the advertising companies, don't connect the dots for you. They tell you to take 16 Advil a day and then get a liver transplant owned by the liver transportation company that they own. Next, they're going to like make livers in a factory for you after blowing your liver out with Tylenol. So it's all crazy. I mean, you don't know which way to turn. So you can't eat shellfish. You can, but it's got to come from clean water. You don't know if the water's clean. Now, I know a lot of Italians listen to me, and they're in the shellfish business. I got to be careful. I got to tread on. And then they say, I ate it, and I could still knock your block. Okay, fine. I had that once with pot smokers, they would call me. Never mind, I smoke pot. I can still knock your behind. So what does that mean? That's nothing. You're still a jerk for smoking marijuana because of the toxicants. And get back to me when you're 65 and you have lung cancer, sir, because that's what you're going to get from marijuana. So you can't eat that. Then you got scallops that come out of port. The scallops at least come from Canadian waters or Icelandic waters. Some of them, I think they're cleaner. I never have trouble with, like, frozen large scallops when you defrost them. And the chef taught me another trick. Don't run water on them because it runs the flavor out of them. They keep the toxicants on them before you cook them. I bought frozen shrimp in Safeway. It was very good the other night. It has like a whole green packaging. It tells about green. But you have to search the label. You need a magnifying glass inside your magnifying eyeglasses to see where the shrimp come from. These came from India. You know how clean those were. Can you imagine how far away that is to bring in food? They were delicious. They smelled great. Joints hurt me right afterwards, within 5 minutes. Every joint in my body was aching me, set off a shockwave. They didn't smell. They're just polluted, that's all. So what am I supposed to go back to? Gefilte fish? I mean, pike and whitefish? Horrible food, the worst. It's leftover food. It's poor man's food. Nobody ate that in the ancient, in the old world of Europe, except the poor. Poor Jews developed gefilte fish, pike and whitefish, because nobody else would eat the garbage. They were leftover fish in the fish store. So there's nothing left to eat on Earth. So you may as well eat what you want. And then take loads of fish oil, loads of vitamin E, loads of B vitamins, a major league multivitamin, at least 1 to 2 grams of vitamin C a day, and pray every day that God doesn't take you too soon. Then you'll be okay. It ends anyway. All roads lead to the same place. That's all. So here I am sitting here with my back to a wall. My back to a wall, facing the nation, looking at the entire east. I'm looking east. East! Go east, young man. Go east. No one goes west. The most hated state in the world, in America, is California. The roads are broken. The people are broken. It's unbelievable, but I couldn't wait to get back here. Horrible place. But since I'm deeply established here, I don't want to leave. I like the geography because liberals had nothing to do with it. They haven't changed the geography yet. They haven't polluted the air yet. They try to figure out how to pollute it with fireplaces because fireplaces are ecologically friendly, except to you next door who's dying like from lung cancer. You live in like a nice community with good air near the water, and you got a schmuck who has a peace sign on his driveway, and every night he runs a wood fire. You don't understand people's minds the way I do. How about a bicycle incident? Would you like to hear about a bicycle incident, another one? Lawyers from San Francisco blocking the road, kayakers blocking the bay. Canoers blocking the lakes, liberals blocking the political process, and there's Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich as, what's he playing now? He's still around? Why is he still in it? Can't they just arrest him for some reason? Can't they get something on him, like a nasty text or something? So first he attacked Romney for months, relentless. He did the job Obama could never dream of doing. Now Fatso is working on Santorum. Santorum's a lunatic. I supported Santorum with the Satan thing because I knew he meant it, you know, figuratively, not literally. But Santorum is a nightmare. Everything the Republicans did not need, they got in Santorum. It was bad enough that Newt Gingrich is the face of evil. It's bad enough that Newt Gingrich is the face of the insider. It's bad enough that Newt Gingrich is the poster boy for K Street. It's bad enough. Santorum is the poster boy for everything America doesn't care about anymore. Contraception, that's it. That's the number one issue in America now, is a condom. Santorum reduced the entire election down to a condom. Can you believe this? This is what the guy has done? Another one, a nut wife. Where do they get these women from? That's what I want to know. Where do these ultra-right-wing wackos get these pretty psychotic wives? I'm not accusing their wives of being pretty and psychotic. I'm saying generically. Where do these super right-wing double-talkers get these broads from? How do they find them? They look like Stepford wives to me. Well, you don't have to go any further than the one with the plastic hair, whatever her name is. Yes, when I play the tuba or when I play the French horn in the church choir, Nude is always there listening. Of course he's listening. Of course you kick kick him out of the bed, the marital bed, if he didn't listen to you play the French horn. That's why he listens. Think he really hears you, Calista? Believe me, this is from Michael Savage. He doesn't really hear the French horn. His mind is working on how to slam somebody and collect more money. Now you got Rick Santorum. God forbid if he gets... Oh, God, man. That's Obama's greatest dream, is that Santorum gets the nomination. That would be Democrats until the year 3000, if Santorum gets the nomination. The Dems would be in power till the year 3000. They wouldn't even have to raise money after that. I can't believe this. The party had the election in their hand. We have the most divisive, inexperienced, corrupt, tyrannical president in American history. An open communist. Open, naked. Bankrupted the treasury like King Ludwig II. Obama. Disaster. Nobody liked him. Anyone who worked for a living was leery of him. They understood the man was an arrogant, out-of-control tyrant. Then the wife with the calories every day. Every day another lecture. Easy. Easiest election in history. And take a look where we are today. Look what these people have done to this country. Look at this. Look at this now, where we are. These nuts. Delegates. Then they're going to nomination. I don't even understand the they're not even going to have a primary. They're going to just, what do you call that, Beowulf? And they go in there and pick someone in a smoke-filled room. No. You know what I'm saying. When they don't have any more, when they know it didn't work, nobody really. Yeah, broken convention. But broken convention is a nice set of words for buying the election. Whoever can pay more gets the nod. Where are we now? I don't know. How did I get into this? Where Vanderbilt poll shows Gingrich at 10%. Trailing rival Santorum with the poll was like Republican primary conducting. Could you remember? Do you remember any of this? And at the same time, a kid's knocking another kid off with a gun because he was a goth and he was picked on. Why did he kill? Why did the kid kill him? Why? Because of the vermin in Hollywood. That's the reason. See, the Republicans had one major issue. It wasn't condoms nor abortion. That wasn't their issue. Their strong card was not abortions and condoms. Their strong issue was fiscal conservatism when you have an out-of-control, maniacal left-winger in the White House printing money and bankrupting the Treasury. Easy, easy, easy. Fiscal conservatism. Stick to the facts. Talk only about him bankrupting the country and what you as Republicans would do. Instead, now, we're arguing over contraception with guys in funny red hats. I'll be right back. So you say you want a revolution. 1789, the French Revolution. How'd that work out? 1848, European revolutions of 1848. 1917, the Russian Revolution. How'd they work out? Seems to me every day that I wait, nobody could take this anymore. There's like a mental... There's only a limit to how much stress a nation can take, and I think this country is at a snapping point. Everyone's going crazy from this country's lack of focus, lack of leadership, unwillingness to stand up for itself, a shame to be America. It's frightening to see what this White House has done to this country. It's frightening. It's just frightening to see what this man has done to this country. It should have been a snap to win this election. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. It's not a joke. I mean, it's frightening to see what's going on here. Just frightening. Here's Hillary Clinton, the worst Secretary of State in American history, who, if she was the architect of the so-called Arab Winter, which I named, it's a war crime what she did, the Arab Winter. She has taken former allies and turned them into enemies. Right now, two-thirds of the seats in Egypt's upper house of parliament have gone to the Islamists, as I feared and predicted. And she's over there pandering to them. She's in Tunisia answering questions about U.S. presidential candidates, pandering to so-called Zionist lobbies. You know what she says? It's a fair question. It's a fair question. Dem congressman says we don't have any problem of illegal immigrants voting in the U.S. Obama tells governors to hire more public school teachers. Karzai's response to Obama's apology for the Quran incident, put U.S. troops on trial and punish them. Can you believe what's going on in this world? Anyway, it's just crazy. So what do you want to talk about in the Savage Nation? There's Hillary Clinton. If she was the architect behind the Arab winter, who do you blame for the fact that there's been a revolution throughout the Arab countries and the Islamists have now taken power? None of them are friendly to America. None of them. And there's Hillary over there pandering to them. There's Representative John Lewis, D. Georgia. We don't have any problem with illegal immigrants voting in the U.S. How would he know that? Because he says so? Reverend Wright to speak in Cleveland. Media still praising him and making excuses. Andrea Mitchell, who in my opinion should be tried for what her and her husband, Alan Greenspan, did to this country, the government media complex, investigated and tried for pulling the wool over people's eyes. Andrea Mitchell is still on television, and she's on television, and she's fretting that voters might punish Obama over Afghanistan and gas prices. This is unbelievable. It's just unbelievable to me how this goes on. The country is near a nervous breakdown. It's unbelievable to me. Anyway, and we're talking about contraception. The number one issue to Rick Santorum is Satan and contraception. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. I'm going to do some callers now. All right, Paul in New York on WOR. How are you? What's on your mind? Go ahead. You're on the air.
The reason why the children are reacting the way they are is because the teachers are brainwashing them. It's a combination of the bad values from Hollywood and the reinforcement of the bad values from the teachers. For example, my kid was picked on at Bayside High School, and instead of standing up for themselves, I told my kid, stand up for yourself. The teachers punished my kid for standing up for themselves.
What do you mean punished?
She had a detention.
For doing what? Your kid did what?
My kid is much shorter than a lot of the other children in Bayside High School.
All right, so they picked on him for being a shorty. And what happened?
So I told her to shove them back and show that you're not afraid. And she got in trouble for not reporting the incident to the teacher. And I said to my kid, good job.
Well, I was bullied my entire life. So what? It made me the man I am. Look where I am. Bully anybody, but I was bullied. So what? All it did was make me decide I wanted to succeed and prove that I was better than them. Am I right? The entire history of the human race is that of pushing the other guy around to get the best out of him. What the heck do you think a Marine drill instructor does to wimps? They bully them. How are you going to ever produce a man in the military unless you bully them and shame them and call them names? How are you going to produce a warrior? How? Tell me how it's going to work.
There is no other way.
There is no other way. So now you have the feminization of the entire nation pushed by these psychopaths. Anyway, but meanwhile, there's a dead child in Ohio and three wounded shot because some idiot told this kid he was bullied. And because you're bullied, you're the victim. And because you're the victim, you should shoot the other kid. That's what happened. So who do you blame? Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, Matzenberg, Hatzenberg, Ratzenberg, Matzenberg? Or who? The gun manufacturer?
Savage.
It is a mad, 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 mad world, and I fear that we could be heading towards a national nervous breakdown. You know, it's happened to other countries. But when you have a King Ludwig in the White House, as we have, who has bankrupted the Treasury, yes, he inherited a $1 trillion deficit. That is true, but he turned it into a $4 trillion deficit. There's no arguing with the facts, and the fact is the man is a fiscal communist who prints money in order to buy votes. There's no other explanation for it. He pays back the cronies who put him in office, fake loans, in my opinion, to these solar companies that are going out of business as fast as you can say solar energy or as fast as you can say Neptune. And people can't keep up with the number of scandals that come and go from the Obama administration. And the myths that keep flying out of the White House, the myths about the jobs, and he saved the world, and the economy's better. Well, the economy is slightly better, by the way. If you look around, I mean, you don't have to be a genius to see that. But I don't know what the reasons are for the betterment of the economy. Personally, I think it's people are just spending money. The restaurants are full wherever you go. People are buying cars again. The housing market is still extremely sluggish because it was a false bubble to begin with. How many times can you flip a house and think that you're a Donald Trump? I mean, how many idiots? The condo they bought for $192 and they sold for $212, and they thought they're already on the road to Donald Trump. They'll flip this house, put in the everywhere you went marble and this and the marble. Everywhere there's someone from Mexico was cutting a piece of marble in a driveway. Wherever you turned, there was a marble cutter. I never saw anything like it. The tile and the marble. I never saw anything like it in my life. Then it all came to a grinding halt. All the saws were sitting unsinging in the driveways, thank God for me. But, you know, so people are not as afraid, so they're spending. But where's the money coming from? That's what I'd like to know. The military cutting to the bone. NASA destroyed. Space flights destroyed. You say it doesn't matter. Well, does it matter? Then if it doesn't matter, why is China developing space weaponry? If it doesn't matter, why is China racing as fast as they can to develop as advanced space technology as they can? If it doesn't matter, why is, and he wants to cut our nuclear arsenal by another 80%. So you say, well, what do we need all those nukes for? We only need 200 to 300. Then why is China upgrading their nuclear stockpile? Why is Russia upgrading their nuclear stockpile while he is diminishing it? These are amazing points. And you haven't heard one of these points from any of the sad sacks on the Republican side. Not one. So we, the people, sit here saying, how much more can we take of this? How much more? You had the easiest slam dunk victory in history. And here they came along and they let, look, it was Newt Gingrich who destroyed the Republican Party. But I don't think it was he alone. I think he was in cahoots with the RNC to do it. I've had this terrible feeling in my gut that it was 8 years Dems, 8 years Repub, and then it was going to be 8 years Dem, no matter what he did, no matter who it was in power, that the power structure can't afford to switch management every 4 years. It's too hard to reestablish lobbyists and get the lines running through again, the money lines. So it's easier to let the other party have it for 8 years because you got all the other, you know what I'm saying? That's how it works. At least that was one of my bad moments. I saw it that way. Yeah, it's possible, isn't it? Is it not possible that they're throwing the election? Tell me the truth. By what you've seen go on between Romney, Sanctimonious Santorum, Girthy Gingrich, and missing Neurons Paul, you're telling me it doesn't look like they threw the election, but who could they pull out of in a brokered convention? I'm doing politics for a minute. Let's say they go to the brokered convention, which is a smoke-filled room where they decide to throw overboard all of the failure candidates, despite what they said and did, and they come up with someone who, don't tell me Jeb Bush can win. Impossible, can't win. Unelectable. No one wants another Bush any more than they want another Kennedy or another Clinton. America doesn't want dynasties, so Jeb Bush would be a disaster, and yet they're bandying the name about. Okay, that's number one. So who's out there? Who's out there? Who are they going to pick in a brokered convention? Who? Who will the fat cats pick? Tell me who. I don't know who. Name another candidate. Who? Don't come up with Rubio. Don't give me Rubio, another hero. Another hero of the Republican Revolution, Rubio. What is such a heroic? What has this guy done? Who is he? He's got the name. That's all. Ends in an O. Therefore, he's going to win. A-E-I-O-U. That's all. Right away, you've got a whole ethnic group. That's all it's about. I don't know what he stands for. What is he, an inspirational speaker? Tell me who. I don't know who to pick. There were some guys I really liked about 2 years ago. They like went on the wayside. The guy from Alabama was very conservative. He quieted down. You know who I mean, right? I don't know. They disappeared. All of the right-wing guys who I really respected. The really good conservative senators, they like stopped talking. You don't hear from them anymore. Inhofe's a good guy, but he's not going to run. I can't even name another guy that could win. Could you name one person who could be picked up in a brokered convention? Seriously, who could win? Don't come up with a name like Rush Limbaugh, please. Tell me, you know, Sean Hannity could win. That's what I want to hear next. Bill O'Reilly should run for the presidency. They're going to get like lunatic answers like that. Mike, you should run. We got your back. We light candles for you. We got your back, Mike. Go, Mike, go.
We got your back, Mike. We're with you.
Yeah, banned in England. You know, had my back. The donors to my fund. That's it. I'm still languishing. Can't go to. I can't go to England. I want to get my teeth done. I can't go there. I want to eat their great cuisine. I can't get into England to experience the great socialist cuisine of England. But if it does end, you know, would I go there? Would I really go if my name is lifted? I don't know. After what they did to me, I don't want to ever go there. I like the architecture. I like the Regency architecture the most. I like the period architecture, but I really don't want to go there to see Islamabad in London, to be frank with you. I could do without women in burqas as England. To me, England was always, you know, mutton pie, Winston Churchill, rosy cheeks, bulldogs, jaguars. You know, somehow it wasn't full body coverings from Islamabad and hate eyes behind the veils. You know what I mean? I don't really need to go there now. Go see another curry shop. I can go to San Francisco. Get me started with this tiger shrimp. Next thing will be a food discussion. All roads lead back to the shrimp. That's all I can tell you. Every road leads right back to the same thing. And nature yawns. Nature yawns at all of this. The landforms, they just sit here. They look at us like little ants crawling around. The graveyards are filled, and they keep filling up generation after generation the way of all flesh. The landforms, the landforms, the landforms, he said. The graveyards, the graveyards, the graveyards they fill, he said. And so what does he agonize and why does he eat his guts out? He asked. I don't know. Why do I? Why am I sitting here doing this with my back to a wall, worrying about all of this? It's liable to blow up in our face. The nation is liable to have it's going to go there. I believe that the Occupy movement are the advanced troops of the Obama thugs. He unleashed them on America. In fact, everyone has the sound bites of him supporting them. Pelosi supported them. Hillary supported them. And you see, again, if you had a viable alternative party, the Republicans, if they were viable, they'd be showing the playing the speeches of Obama supporting the Occupy thugs, right? And then they would show the Occupy thugs and what they're doing, throwing urine bags at police, things like that. And they'd say he supported the Occupy thugs. He unleashed them. They're his private army. He's a dangerous man. He's not fit for office. You don't see any of this. You got to ask yourself, why? Why is the RNC avoiding the obvious? Because they don't really want to win. Maybe the stooges up there are doing it simply for a book deal, a lecture tour afterwards. Remember, look at all the free publicity. Let's say Newt Gingrich, whatever millions and millions and millions he has, 100 million, God knows what he's put into this already, or he's gotten from people, the gambling guy, Adelson. All right? So it can't go in his pocket. It's illegal. You can't take PAC money and buy yourself even a toothbrush. That's go to jail time. So you say, well, how's he profiting? I want you to think about the book contract he's going to get after he's out of the race. I want you to think about the lifetime sinecure of lecture fees that neuron-deficient Ron Paul could have after this is over. What are you, 100 grand a lecture, 200 grand a lecture for the rest of his life? So they're doing it for publicity. You know what I'm saying? Think about it. Just look at it that way, cynically. They're doing it for self-advancement. It's nothing to do with the party nor the country, because they know that they're committing Harry Carey just by the things they're saying. Here's another article right now. I got it just now. Romney on taxes. I want to make sure we maintain the progressivity of the code. He's saying exactly what Obama's saying. Former Mass Governor Mitt Romney said on Fox News Sunday that he wants to maintain the progressivity of the tax code so that as Americans make more money, they are required to surrender increasing percentages of their earnings to the federal government in taxation. So how does he differ from Obama? He hated the flat tax proposal by Steve Forbes from years ago, 1996, and spent $50,000 of his own money during the 96 presidential campaign to run news ads attacking the flat tax idea because he said it only supported the rich. So how does Romney on taxes differ from the class warfare rhetoric and thinking of Obama? The answer is he doesn't. He doesn't. And that could be why he's not catching on with America, is because he doesn't stand for anything. He's just mouthing things, you know. I mean, I'd like to see everybody pay a flat tax. One flat tax, you make a dollar, you pay 15 cents. You make $100 million, you pay 15% of that, $15 million. You make $1 billion, you pay $150 million. I would eliminate the inheritance tax because it's triple taxation. The inheritance tax is the most communistic tax in the history of mankind. You know what an inheritance tax says? That if you work all your life and you have a farm that you want to leave to your son or your daughter to run, the government will take half of it after you die and put them out of business. That's what the inheritance tax means. It's crazy that we would put up with a thing like this. Why should we tolerate a thing like this? Because if you were to tax the 47% of people who pay no taxes, you get a lot of money out of that. Okay, you'd raise an awful lot of money. So why don't they do that? 1-800-449-8255. It's awful. Just awful. And I don't know when this is going to end. Karl Marx said that a graduated income tax is an essential part of a socialist system. We have it. Karl Marx would love this graduated income tax. The more you make, the more you're punished by Uncle Sam. The more you're punished by Aunt Janet. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So Romney says Ann drives a couple of Cadillacs. He says that the trees are the right height. And he says he's for a progressive income tax. That's Romney. No difference in his rhetoric on taxation than Obama. That's what we're going to get with Romney. And Santorum is obsessed with condoms. So people in Michigan are now moving back towards Obama. It was an automatic slam dunk election. Now look what we have here. Romney the liberal, Santorum the lunatic, the other guy, nobody even knows his name, they can't remember him, some good ideas. Newt Gingrich is the unmentionable. We can't even mention his name anymore. It's unmentionable. 1-800-449-8255. Political old-timers. Representative John Dingell, Democrat, Michigan, 10-year time in Congress, 56 years in politics. Hawaii Senator Daniel Inouye, Democrat, Hawaii, total tenure time, 52 years, longest serving current member. Vice President Joe Watergun Biden, total tenure time, 36 years. Governor Rick Perry, total tenure time, 11 years. That's what we have. It's like the Oscars. Mick Jagger still doing rock and roll, not giving a youngster a chance. You say you want to lead a revolution. Billy Crystal is the best they could dig up for the Oscars. That's it. Get the Canes out next. Top political old-timers. How about the top Hollywood old-timers? There they were last night. I've nothing against age. I'm not a young guy. But at a certain point, you got to let it go. Move on. Go into something else. Try talk radio. See if you can do that for 16 years. Try that one every day. Actually, it gets in your blood. It keeps you young. Because no matter what ails you, you can forget it when you're on the radio. You get so intensely involved. I mean, it beats not being on the radio when you think about it. When you look at what's going on in the world, who would I say this to? Who in the world would I talk to about this? Nobody wants to hear it. You listen because you're a politically astute individual. If you listen to the Savage Nation, you know it's the best show in the world. And you know that the top people in the country listen to the show regularly. Even people who disagree with me politically listen to this show. I know it for a fact. I absolutely know it for a fact that many of the people on the other side of the aisle, which would be about 99% of the people. I'm in the 1% in that regard. Listen to this show because like, this guy's amazing. How does he do it? Where does he get these ideas and facts from? Are we really that dangerous? Have we really become a dangerous party? Why are we associated with so many criminals? Why is this party looking more and more like a criminal party? That's what Democrats, who are actually decent people, think. Why are we associated with slime like Media Matters, Stalinist slime? Why are we even connected to them? They're right out of the Soviet Union. Why haven't they been closed down by the IRS? Why is David Brock not in handcuffs and an orange jumpsuit? They're asking those questions in top Democrat circles, but they're afraid to say a word for fear that they're not in the party if they say they're not in the CPUSA. They know I'm right, though. There are honest Democrats, I'm sure, somewhere, I would think, perhaps. Just as there are possibly talented actors somewhere, I'm sure, perhaps. I'm a movie lover, but that, don't confuse the watching a movie with going to them for a political opinion. You're going to go to Angela Jolie for her political opinions? You want to hear what J-Lo thinks about the political? You want to ask Cameron Diaz what her opinion is on global warming, perhaps? That'll be like asking Billy Crystal what he thinks about global warming. What would he know about a thing like that? And we got school shooting now. I was bullied, goes in and shoots, kills one, injures three or four. Why? Why did he? Was it because of Hollywood? Guns in every movie for the last 40 years? You want to sue the movie studios? Blame them. Who do you sue? Was he on antipsychotic drugs? Sue the drug manufacturer. Certainly wasn't the gun. The gun didn't kill. He did. He picked up the gun. Because he was told he was the victim. He was told he was bullied. Instead of standing up with his mouth, with his intelligence, instead of increasing his wit and learning to fight back with his brain, he went and got a gun because he was told he was the bully. So, who is it? Is it the government? For the last year now, all we've heard is bullying, 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 anti-bullying, bullying, 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 bullying. So the kid got the idea he was picked on, he's the victim, he's the minority victim, he should shoot, he should kill. Blame the government. Blame the government propaganda. So there's an awful lot of blame to go around. Meanwhile, there are parents who are grieving right now in Ohio. Their children are severely wounded, injured, dead. And so who are they blaming? They're blaming nobody. Their heart's broken forever. They're blaming nobody. The police, I feel bad for them. They gave speeches today that were pathetic, telling us what a good job they did. And you can't blame them. Then they had already a defense expert who said they should have had a metal detector in the school. You hear? No doubt this ex-New York cop who was on Fox News with the worst broadcaster in American history, Neil Cavuto, the most clueless guy I've ever seen in my life. Neil Cavuto should be wearing an apron somewhere, not even in a bar. Neil Cavuto should be running an Italian deli somewhere in Bensonhurst. Like a little grease on the air. You know, like he would tell you how good the Kalamata olives are. You know, that kind of. That's about the top he would have gotten. In my day, a guy like Neil Cavuto, he would have said, you want to try the cheese. He would have cut a piece of cheese for you. Like a nice schlub. But he's got a New York Police Department detective on who's saying the school should have had metal detectors and they should have stopped it. So you know that this cop was no doubt involved in a metal detector company, knowing how America works. You read between the lines. Everything everyone says, you have to analyze what they're selling. Yes, in my opinion, had the schools had those metal detectors, this horrible tragedy, blah, blah, blah. Then you look in, the guy works for a metal detector company. Wherever you turn, there's somebody out for a buck. 1789, French Revolution. 1848, European Revolutions. 1917, Russian Revolutions. 2012, well, you fill in the blank. There's so much betrayal. There's so many sinister people in the political structure. It's unreal. And then the movies that won the awards, you know, they were picked strictly based upon sex, gender, sexual orientation, and country of origin. Every movie that won, based upon country of origin, sexual orientation, race, and gender. The whole thing was affirmative action. Every award was based upon a political statement. It was amazing to watch this. And there was Woody Allen. Can you imagine that? Schlemiel didn't even show up again. He's too cool to even go to Hollywood. I could not believe it. And they had the speech ready, and we accept it for him. Schmuck. In my day, a seltzer man. Seltzer man's son. The most, a truck. Maybe two trucks. Two trucks. That would have been it.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
There was a school shooting in Ohio, and it's injured four and killed one. We learned today that the shooter is a goth, and he was bullied. But why do you think kids are shooting each other in America today? How did you resolve disputes when you were a kid? Do you think movie producers, the Spielbergs, Weinsteins, Katzenbergs, Ratzenbergs, Hatzenbergs, and Matzenbergs, are to blame for the senseless, violent movies they make, in which one person after another is shot without regard to the psychological impact it has on our young minds? I do. Do you think violence, leftism, or racism, such as that which was on display from Billy Crystal Nacht at the Oscars last night, is the greatest danger we face from Hollywood today?
That moment for Octavia is what the Oscars is all about. That was pretty amazing. And I loved that movie a lot. When I saw it and I came out of The Help, I wanted to hug the first black woman that I saw, which from Beverly Hills is about a 45-minute drive. And
goth kid kills one and injures four. I guess they'll talk about him as a victim. Billy Crystal told bad jokes at the Oscars. It was awful. It was the worst. It was the worst spectacle of the movie industry ever seen. Louis Farrakhan warns of racial hatred, such as killing of Obama. Can you believe this? Secretary of State, so-called Hillary Clinton, says that President Obama's apology for the Quran incident was a good thing.
I find it, you know, somewhat troubling that our politics would inflame such a dangerous situation in Afghanistan. I well remember during the 8 years of President Bush's administration when something happened that was regrettable, unintentional, as this incident was. President Bush was quick to say, look, you know, we're sorry about this. This is something that, you know, we obviously did not mean to do. That's all that President Obama was doing, and it was the right thing to do, to have our president on record as saying, you know, this was not intentional. We deeply regret it.
Here's some of the news headlines on MichaelSavage.com and elsewhere. Can Obama's detention plans be stopped? What? What do you mean detentions? What do you mean detentions? Well, we're interested in sports. Well, according to Al Gore consultant Naomi Wolf, and going back to Ronald Reagan's Justice Department official Bruce Fein, we all have to fear Obama. They said journalists aren't safe, union leaders aren't safe, activists aren't safe, liberty is not safe. They say the National NDDA, which includes several sections that allows the president to arrest U.S. citizens, is very dangerous. But don't worry about it. Nothing to fear. Obama said there's nothing to fear. What else is on MichaelSavage.com? Obama has hired the Inconvenient Truth director for a campaign film about him. Now, as you well know, the Inconvenient Truth film was a lie. So you can imagine the campaign film won't be the truth. What else is in the news? We have an article on the website, MichaelSavage.com. It took only 1 hour and $260 in New York City to buy a phony green card, a Social Security and driver's license, right in the streets of Jackson Heights, Queens. Where is Homeland Security when you need them? They're certainly not there. They're monitoring people opposed to abortion, returning service veterans, and conservatives. Watch out, anyone who wears a cross, because you may cross Homeland Security. On the top left of MichaelSavage.com, home of the Savage Nation, Borders, Language, Culture. Coming soon, the new bestseller from Michael Savage, Trickle Down Tyranny, on sale April 3rd. You must order this book now if you want to crush Obama's dream of the socialist states of America. You can do so by going to Amazon or any other ordering site. Castro pegs the GOP primaries. That's right. You won't believe that article. A ghost of Oscar's past. The most boring ceremony ever. A father was arrested in Toronto because his four-year-old drew a picture of a gun. Canadian police strip-searched and jailed him. Left-wing attack dogs caught in a scandal. That would be David Brock of Media Matters, the same group that smeared me. Apparently, he paid his former partner, another guy, $850,000 in blackmail money because the guy threatened to go to the IRS with the truth. Where is the IRS now that you need him? How about Angela Jolie last night? I call her Angie the Arm and Brad the Pitt, mocked by the Oscar crowd. Hollywood, out of touch with unreality, was my headline. In Egypt, you good Democrats put 80% of Egypt's upper parliament into Islamist hands. Thank you, Hillary Clinton. Thank you, George Soros. Thank you, Jimmy Carter. Thank you, Zbigniew Brzezinski. But most of all, we want to send our thanks to Barack Obama for putting Islamists into Egypt. Bobby Kennedy's slum son arrested in a hospital scuffle. Douglas Kennedy, another Kennedy, another scandal. Ho-hum. Another Democrat resigned over another dirty text message. You won't believe that story from Florida. Wow. Also on michaelsavage.com, don't miss on the bottom, New York, New York, nostalgic wartime black and white images romanticizing the Big Apple. All this and more right here on the Savage Nation.
Despite Obama's unqualified statement of unwavering support for Israel and Zionism, the owner of the Atlanta Jewish Times, Andrew Adler, wrote just a few weeks ago that Israel should consider giving the go-ahead for U.S.-based Mossad agents to take out a president deemed unfriendly to Israel. In order for the current vice president to take his place and forcefully dictate that the United States policy includes its helping the Jewish state obliterate its enemies.
You know how much that irritates me? Well, just think how your throat would feel this spring without Pine Brothers softish throat drops. Remember Pine Brothers? Those soft, delicious throat drops we all grew up with, the ones your parents bought to soothe you when you had a sore throat that you couldn't stop eating after your throat got better. Well, they're back in natural honey and wild cherry flavors, and they're just as wonderful and effective as you can remember. Visit them on the web at pinebrothers.com. That's pinebrothers.com.
Savage.
Unqualified statement of unwavering support for Israel and Zionism, the owner of the Atlanta Jewish Times, Andrew Adler, wrote just a few weeks ago that Israel should consider giving the go-ahead for U.S.-based Mossad agents to take out a president deemed unfriendly to Israel. In order for the current vice president to take his place and forcefully dictate that the United States policy includes its helping the Jewish state obliterate its enemies.
It is bad. Boy, it's worth it for the time that I've had.
There's a lot of old people who go off the road a lot. I saw a sign on the side. There's like bike paths down here, which are nice. I'm a bicyclist, but I would never ride a bicycle down here on a road. You got people, octogenarians, they can't see over the steering wheel. They look like Mr. and Mrs. Magoo. They have no idea where they are. They drive by celestial navigation. They're so low in the seat, they have to look up at the stars. The problem is there are no stars during the day. They're knocking bicyclists off like 10 pins. So the police had to put up these signs on the side of the road, like, you know, in lights. And it says, drivers, look out for bicyclists. And then the next thing that comes up to show that they're fair is bicyclists, no more than two abreast. I would like to see that sign in California. You got six of these vermin lawyers. They take over roads. You don't know what to do with them. They're the worst scum on the earth. By the way, this is an interesting story, and thank God there's some truth came out. They did a survey of the most hated state in the country. California's number one. The most hated state, despised around the country. So listen to what the schmucks in San Francisco write. Well, they hate us because they're jealous. You hear? They have no idea why they're hated. They're like Democrats. They're like in denial. They drank the Kool-Aid. Why do Americans hate California and Californians? Oh, they're jealous of you. They're jealous of your income. Those in the Occupy Oakland group, they're jealous of you because you have such freedom. Freedom to rattle your chains, you moron. Yeah, and I drive these cars. I ride a bike down here, but I go across the road into the residential area. One thing I like about down here, I'll tell you, is the bridges that go up and down. That is really something to watch. I try to time it so I don't have to sit on the roadside
you know, with the people from Jersey Shore licking an ice cream cone with the wife-beating shirts. I don't want to hear that conversation. I can do without it. You know, once is quite it's charming enough. What outfits down here? My God, you can't believe it. How a man could dress up like this with shorts and a wife-beater shirt. Oh, listen to this one. I'm walking in the streets last. You can walk around at night. You can hear things. The one thing I like about East Coast people is they talk. California, everyone's like subversive. Everything's covert. They're like cats and kittens. Nobody says a word in California. You're afraid you might hear them. They don't talk. Or New Yorkers, East Coast, they talk. So I'm in the streets last night after the show. I went for a walk in one of the towns. I'm not going to tell you where. I did see Hot Rod Alive Tuesday night. That was fun for like one set. I'm walking in the street. I'm like tired after the show. It was a bad day for me. I was exhausted. Then the debate knocked me out. It was just a dreadful thing. But I didn't want to like lay in bed. So I got up, you know, went out. I don't even know what I ate. I ate nothing. It's not your business, right? I don't eat any. Well, I was going to talk about food again later, but because I think I have food addiction. I may go to that group later tonight if it's open at midnight. I'm walking in the street. It's packed. Packed. Packed, I tell you. After all, the American children are off on the East Coast for President's Week. Not day now. They took them out of school for a whole week so they can learn how to, surf. In China, they're teaching them calculus in the fifth grade. Our children are learning how to take vacations and collect welfare or whatever they're learning, how to put a condom on a toy cucumber. Three women, early 20s, are walking together. I didn't pay much attention. There's so many people, blah, 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 but I look at people. I'm a people watcher. I love looking at people. I miss it in California. There's nothing to look at there. Everyone looks the same in California. It's like one bland, like dummy, like a department store dummy in California. At least here there's a diversity of white people. You hear what I just said? The towns, by the way, it's very interesting. It's all Caucasian, 99%. And diverse, the Caucasian groups, interestingly enough. You know, not all whites look alike. Very diverse. Now, you may have forgotten that. So, no, is that illegal, Beowulf, what I just said? All whites don't look alike? There's nothing wrong with that, is there? It's pretty good. So three women are walking, and here's what I overhear as I go by. Like I'm hitting a stop set. One says to the other, why are you pulling your dress up? The other says to her, because she's showing too much. The other one says, she's got a perfect body. Let her do what she wants. I couldn't believe it. But it was interesting. It was like three chicks, I was saying, three girls, 22, 23, 21. Why are you pulling your dress up? Because she's showing too much. She's got a perfect body. Why can't she show it? See, in every group of three women, there's one hot one. Then there's like the supporting staff. They're like the supporters. One tells her she's gorgeous, and the other one sort of mocks her and keeps her under control so she doesn't get carried away in like a bar. No, it's a very interesting thing. They're like wingmen, in the Air Force. She's like in the front, the one with the good body, right, the workout body. And then there's the trailer, the left and right. I swear to God, it was a real conversation. Why are you pulling your dress up? Because she's showing too much. She's got a perfect body. Leave her alone. I swear to you. We are on a savage day. Americans hate California. It's the most despised state in the nation, poll finds. But the lying fools in the local papers say, but why? Maybe they're just jealous. They're jealous of our low standard of living and our degeneracy. Biker guilty of killing Hell's Angels, chief. Christopher Ablett, 31, get life for stabbing and shooting the head of the Hell's Angels Frisco chapter. We'll leave that one alone. Thank you. Look at this crate. Oh, wow, we got a great caller here. I got a lot of calls. Don't think I'm not talking about Quran burning. I'm not talking about generals on their hands and knees. I'm not talking about Obama genuflecting to the warlord of Afghanistan. I can't take it anymore. I can't deal with politics. Is it any wonder I'm reading, like, events around the... I told you I read this already. America's per capita government debt worse than Greece. And Obama's up there on a Spanish stage telling how good he is for the Latinos, irrespective of the non-citizens. Las Vegas, Richard, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, I'm a psychologist. You were just talking about the attractive girl with the other girls with him.
Yes.
That's kind of a psychological thing. I found that you'll always usually find a very attractive girl with one friend. Their friends usually are not near as attractive for comparison purposes.
So the good-looking one chooses them so they stand out. I see.
Correct. It's also, a lot of the attractive ones have a low self-esteem for some reason, and they need this comparison to build up their ego and their self-esteem.
I heard when I was a young man that some of the most gorgeous women, I mean the top, the actresses and models, would look at themselves in the mirror and see ugly women.
Correct.
Is, I mean, you're in Vegas. Do you see that with the showgirls?
Yes, they wear 16 pounds of makeup. And when you see most of them without their makeup, they're not near what you think they look like.
Well, look, everything is an illusion up to us. You know, they live in illusion. Women are the side of the species that we use for our illusions, don't we? Men are not supposed to dress up in the peacock feathers in our society. But if you go to, you know, as an anthropologist earlier in my life, certainly I don't have to spell this one out for you as a psychologist. In many societies, it's the men who wear the fancy feathers.
True, but men don't do the same thing. If a good-looking guy doesn't choose his friends to be just the opposite.
That's an intriguing one. What do they choose? They what, they're alone to stand out?
No, they want the same. You usually see a bunch of guys at a bar or friends.
Oh, so it's like three jocks together. They all look good. Interesting. You see that? You never know what you're going to hear on the Savage Nation. I can't wait till I come back.
Savage.
You know, one of the greatest hoaxes of all time is the so-called global warming hoax. And President Obama and his cronies in Congress are using the hoax of global warming to pull off the greatest wealth redistribution in history. Joining us right now on the Savage Nation to talk about this is Republican Senator James Inhofe. Senator, welcome back to the Savage Nation. You and I both know that so-called global warming is a hoax, meaning even if there's a slight increase in warming, which is marginal, we don't know whether it's caused by man, and we're all against pollution. But why are the supporters of global warming completely ignoring these facts?
Well, first of all, you look at the time, and look at the time they have invested in this. The time is, you stop and realize, the Kyoto, that was 12, 14 years ago. And when it was never submitted for ratification by the Clinton-Gore administration, but then right after that, you had all this legislation that started, cap-and-trade legislation. And the people behind it, when you read the book, my new book that's coming out, we have a whole chapter on the history of cap-and-trade and where it really started, and this surprises a lot of people. It wasn't Al Gore who invented it. It was the United Nations, dating all the way back to 1972. So the people with that much time and investment in it, just take Al Gore, for example, he has, you know, 15 years of his life invested in it. He doesn't want to let go, and they're holding on with white knuckles, even though they've lost the public. Public now realizes that, in fact, it is a hoax. And that's why we have a president who's trying to do it through regulation instead of through legislation, because they've given up on that.
Tell my audience what's the true mission of these global warming con men.
Well, you know what they want, Michael? They want to run our lives. This is the way it is with the people that the Hollywood elites, the Al Gores, the MoveOn.orgs, the George Soros, the Michael Moores, you know, they want to be exempt from these things themselves, but they want to run our lives for us. And that's the motivation that they have. And so many of them have such a long period of time invested in this thing that they don't want to give up, they don't want to admit that they were wrong all this time. I can, you know, one of the things that happened to me, this is probably 5 or 6 years ago when I was all alone fighting this thing. My granddaughter, I have 20 kids and grandkids. One of my granddaughters, I think she at that time was in the fifth grade. She came home and she said, "Popeye, why is it you don't understand global warming?" Well, I went back and checked, and I found out that she had gotten all this from the public school system. That all came from the Environmental Protection Agency. And so there are these bureaucrats are brainwashing the public out there. And so this is something that in some parts of the country, like California, they still all believe it's gospel, when in fact we know. We know what it's what motivated it to start with and where we are today. But I do think it's important that people understand. They know there are some things they know. For example, when every time we hear from the president, he talks about what he inherited from George W. Bush and the deficits. Well, the results are all in. In 8 years in the presidential budget of George W. Bush, his total deficits were $2 trillion. In just 4 years, the deficits of this president were $5.3 trillion. Now, I contend in this book pretty much will convince you that the cost of the regulations of regulating cap and trade will exceed the cost of servicing that deficit of $5.3 trillion. So people are not aware of the actual cost of this and what it's going to cost the American people. And even having said that, they admit by their own admission in the Environmental Protection Agency that if we do anything by regulation or legislation in the United States, it won't cause the world emissions to go down. All that'll do is chase our manufacturing base to countries where they don't have the emission controls, like China, like India. So, but I think again, this is the book that puts it all in perspective historically and lets people know what we can do to avoid a real catastrophe from happening in the Obama administration or any administration after that.
Well, has the global warming agenda done much harm to our economy thus far?
Well, first of all, the damage is that it has restricted what we can do in terms of getting our own energy. People are surprised when they find out that the United States of America has the largest recoverable reserves of coal, oil, and gas of any country in the world. And the problem we're having is the far left, and we're talking about the Obama mentality and all of his friends in Hollywood, they don't want fossil fuels. They have had a war on fossil fuels from the day that he took office. And if you'll remember, his Obama's own Secretary of Energy said, we've got to raise the price of gas to be comparable to Europe. That's $7 or $8 before people will get weaned off of fossil fuels. So it's just not rational at all. And when we, if we just get out of the way and develop our own resources, the same as every other country does, we could be completely free from any of the Middle Eastern oil in a matter of months, not years, but months.
You are the ranking member of the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. How can we take care of our environment without destroying our economy?
Well, I got to, first of all, keep in mind that the radical environmentalists, they are going to do everything they can to for their own agenda. But when you stop and you read what scientists have said, for example, on CO2, CO2 is not a pollutant. It's actually a fertilizer. You can't grow anything without CO2. What we want to do is do what we tried to do during the Bush administration. We introduced the Clear Skies Bill. The Clear Skies Bill was a war against real pollutants, SOx, NOx, mercury. And it was held hostage by the far left in the Congress because we did not include CO2. Well, we didn't include it because it was not a pollutant. So I would say that we can make massive improvements. The Clean Air Act was successful back when it was put into place. The amendments were successful. And we just need to continue on the successful road we're on and not try to confuse it by making people think that you've got to stop anthropogenic gases, CO2, methane, and that type of thing.
Where can we read more?
Well, you can find it in the book. You know, it was a fun book to write. And I have to say this, Confession's Good for the Soul. I quit writing for a while when I saw that we had cap and trade defeated. And then that's when I realized that they were going to do it. The Obama administration was going to do it through regulations. And the reason that would cost the future generations much more is because they, through regulation, would have to take it down to the standards of the Clean Air Act. I know we're kind of in the weeds here. But the cost of $300 to $400 billion of taxes every year would actually be far greater than that. It's all in the book, The Greatest Hoax. I remember the criticism I had back in 2003 when I said that the notion that man-made gases, CO2, are causing catastrophic global warming is the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on the American people. I think people realize now, Michael, that that's the truth.
Senator Inhofe, thank you for joining us today on The Savage Nation.
Michael, it was great to talk to you. The book is going to be out tomorrow, and it's The Greatest Hoax. And I think people realize what that's all about. But it for the first time, gives the whole history, and then it outlines the threat that faces us today through the Obama administration, who's trying to do something through regulation he was not able to do through legislation.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
I was reading an article where we got the panic on the myth of the eight-hour sleep per night. And it says, we often worry about lying awake in the middle of the night, but it could be good for you. A growing body of evidence from both science and history suggests that the eight-hour sleep may be unnatural. Who am I glad to hear that? Whew. Whoa, missed that bullet. I have not had an eight-hour night without waking and stirring in my entire adult life. In fact, all of the health literature that your doctor has given you on virtually everything is wrong. I discovered this in my 30s when I had insomnia. I read a self-help book in my 30s that said, hey, hold on a minute. Just because you wake up in the middle of the night doesn't mean there's something wrong. It means you're not tired. So get up and do something. And then the self-help books showed you what you could do in 2 minutes. You could write this. You could write that. You can go to. You can walk around the block. Well, of course, not in San Francisco because the Occupy thugs will get you. But you could do things in the middle. You could look at the stars. You can get a telescope and learn the star formations. A lot of things you could do in the middle of the night. In other words, you might even read a book. God forbid. God forbid you might get one of those antiquated items between two covers with print in it and read one of them. But it turns out, in people who've studied sleep in the past, it's amazing. A man did research on this, and it said that humans used to sleep in two distinct chunks. Would you believe this? And they had sex at certain times, too. People often had sex. A doctor's manual from 16th century France even advised couples that the best time to conceive was not at the end of a long day's labor, but, quote, after the first sleep, when they have more enjoyment and do it better. That's in the 16th century. We don't want to mention that around Rick Santorum. He may have to burn that book. But apparently there were first and second sleeps that disappeared during the late 17th century. And first and second sleeps occurred as a sleeping pattern around the world. You know what first and second sleeps are? This is very interesting. They fall asleep for a couple hours, and then they get up. Then do certain things, hang out, talk, right? And then they go back to sleep a second time. But we have adapted to the idea that we should sleep in an eight-hour block. But I think many of us don't sleep for eight straight hours because our natural bodily rhythm is for segmented sleep as opposed to one long sleep. It's very interesting. And speaking of a long sleep, it seems America is in a long sleep. I picked up a newspaper. And the newspaper has a bulletin board in it while you're calling me on such an important question. Because I see the average person could care less about politics. They're stuffing their faces. They're guzzling the wine, beer, this, that. They don't care. They don't care who's in the White House. They could care less. They think it's all corrupt and all criminal. And as long as they can still buy a hamburger and stuff their mouths with a hamburger and a beer, and put the hat on backwards and watch a moron throw a ball around, they don't care who's in the White House. And you know that, and I know that. So I pick up the bulletin board from the local Florida newspaper, and here's on the local bulletin board. I say, is this what average people do on a Thursday night? Okay, here we go. Bingo, St. John's Catholic Church. Boca Raton Stamp and Coin Club. Food Addicts in Recovery Anonymous, Boynton Beach. Gamblers Anonymous and Gam Anon meetings at Olympic Heights High School, west of Boca Raton. Lecture. Well, I can't even read. Oh, health and education issues in Haiti and the local Haitian community. Lecture, school bully, how to stop it. Lecture, senior scams and how to avoid them. Recovery International, self-help for depression, anxiety, anger, panic, and compulsions. I should go to that one. You know, you do this for a living, and you watch men who should know better submitting to fallen jocks like the guy on CNN and not slamming him to the ground, I could have stopped John King with one. I don't care what he would have asked me. I would have just said, now listen to me, you're nothing but a paid hack for CNN. Here's what we're going to talk about right now. We're going to talk about how Obama has destroyed the entire world. He set the world afire in the Middle East. He has made Israel almost a non-existent nation. He has wrecked the economy. Now, who would stop anybody who would say that? CNN wouldn't stop the tape. The people would cheer. The country would say, at last, the leader has arisen. Instead, you got one putz after another answering to a fallen jock who probably had a D average in college. But that's what I say. So you look at the bulletin board. Lecture, senior scams and how to avoid them. Recovery International, self-help for depression, anxiety, anger, panic, and compulsions. This one actually caught my eye, the next one. Socrates Cafe Discussion Group at a certain library. Socrates Cafe Discussion Group. That's not bad. And a theater show. There's a theater show at a high school called Candida. For a minute, I thought it said cyanide. I'm so depressed from the Republicans that I changed Candida into cyanide. That's okay. No, I looked at the paper. I said, wait a minute. There's a theater piece called Cyanide. Maybe I ought to go to that one. No, it's Candide. It's unbelievable to me what's going on in this country. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. Yeah, various and sundry. So what do you want to talk about? Do you care about the election or what? What's going on here? Why are these Republicans submitting themselves to these lowlifes in the media? Why? Why do they even hold these so-called debates? They're not debates. Look at the question that the fallen jock, a man who couldn't even advertise underwear if he wasn't paid to be a hack, he gets up there and he says, well, Romney says Santorum isn't a fiscal conservative. What do you say about that, hey, Mr. Santorum? This is a debate? This is what American politics are? Pitting one moron after it against another? So, I mean, I rest my case. No wonder Obama goes on a Hispanic radio show, Univision Radio, and talks about he has 5 years left and how he's helped the Latino community. Not distinguishing between legal and illegal, because you see, to a man like him, there is no distinction between legal and illegal immigrants. There's no distinction between legal and illegal businesses. As long as the money flows upstream into the DNC, it doesn't matter where it comes from. That's how millions of people see it. So what can I say to you? Why does the average man seem to not care about anything? And then the news from the military front is, no. I mean, if you really care about these things, it's heartbreaking. Let's go to New York City on WOR. Time is short. Jay, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. You've been saying for such a long time that liberalism is a mental disorder, and I want to give you an example that I heard that really reminded me of that. I heard on another station, a progressive, saying that we should devote as much attention to Christian fanaticism and Christian radicalism as far as terror attacks go as we would to Islamic terrorism.
Now, that's the latest thing. That's coming from the Muslim fanatics who are in the Homeland Security Department. That's the official line of the federal family under Big Sis. She figured out that if you can bash Christians, you can curry favor with the Muslims. You know what I mean? And there's an awful lot of Muslims voting for Obama these days because his middle name ain't Christ. His middle name is Muhammad. See, I mean, his middle name ain't Muhammad nor Christ. I mean, his middle name, as you well know, is Hussein. And so, therefore, you got to understand where the numbers are. You're asking me another question, which is what causes liberalism, the mental disorder? Isn't that your real question?
I mean, essentially, when I heard this...
Well, what causes liberalism is the desire to be loved. Liberals generally want to be loved by everybody. They don't want anyone to dislike them.
I want to be loved by you, just you, nobody else but you.
And it is. And by the way, most liberals are nice people. Most of them are very nice people. They don't bother anybody. They want to be left alone. And they figure that if they stay out of your life, you'll like them and they'll, you know, basically they're good. And their idea of a conservative is a Nazi. They think that most Republicans secretly have SA or SS uniforms and a picture of Hitler in their living room. And this, of course, is an example of the insanity of liberalism in its extremes, just as there are extremes on the conservative side, as exemplified by, I don't know who, really, I don't even know of any extremists anymore. I think they've all left the right side. They're all leftists today. But nevertheless, the fact is that liberals have this horrible prejudice against any Republican, assuming, look at it this way, most liberals think of them, try to visualize what a liberal is. In the form of a woman, it would be Larry David. In the form of a man, it would be Larry David. In the form of a woman, it would be Larry David in drag. That would be a woman liberal who at every turn, every chance he gets, he bashes Christians, the cross, or Christianity, and assumes that any Republican is a Nazi. This is a product of growing up, in my opinion, in a kind of a labor front home in New York City as a child, oilcloth on the floor. The father worked in the ILGWU, even though he was a man. He was in the needle trades one way or the other. And hated the owners and thought that one day there would be a workers' revolution and the workers would run the country. Well, take a look at every country where the workers have taken over and you'll see what happens when workers take over. I don't want to go down that road. So that's it. Basically, liberals are nice people, but they're mentally deranged at a certain point.